Welcome to Back to Basics with Pastor Brian Broderson, an outreach ministry of Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, California. This program is designed to take you back to basic principles for living found in the Word of God.
So, hey, everybody, turn up your radio. Listen to your soul cry the question, why song? Something you never seen before. So gather around, squeeze it tight, 'cause you're bound to hear a little truth tonight. 'Cause the love around here is bound to make you fall. Head over heels for heaven above.
Pastor Brian is currently teaching through the Gospel of John, where we've been focusing on the work and power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And now as we continue to follow this conversation of Jesus to his close followers, we find him once again referring to himself as I am, as we begin the study of the vine and the branches. So let's follow along by turning in our Bibles to John chapter 15 verse 1, as Pastor Brian takes us back to basics.
As you perhaps remember, these chapters that we're looking at, chapters 14, 15, 16, and 17, are one continuous conversation, in a sense. Jesus is doing most of the speaking, but then there's interaction that continues to go on with the apostles. Then when we get to the 17th chapter, we come to the Lord's Prayer. But it's in this conversation that Jesus is instructing his closest followers. And this is, as we pointed out, this is a very intimate portion of Scripture where Jesus is revealing his heart. He's revealing his deepest plans and purposes and intentions. And he's drawing these men into a very intimate encounter with him here in these chapters. He's revealing to them, as we've seen, that he is going to leave them, something that they did not really know was going to happen, something that they still don't understand. But he continues to encourage them with the fact that even though he's leaving, he's going to send the Holy Spirit, who will come and basically take up the ministry where Jesus leaves off. And so as we come to chapter 15, Jesus says to them, I am the true vine. Now, this is the final place where Jesus uses this formula, I am. And we've seen it used many times in this gospel. In John's gospel, John gives us 7 occasions when Jesus uses this formula. And remember, we've talked about this before, but when Jesus uses this I am, he's identifying himself as the God of Israel. He's identifying himself as the one that revealed himself to Moses back in the burning bush as the great I am. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. He had said, I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. And then on that one occasion, you remember in the 8th chapter of John's gospel, the 58th verse, he simply declared before Abraham was, I am. And now he says this final time, I am the true vine. Now, what Jesus is going to do right now is he's going to contrast himself with Israel, the nation, and he's going to show his disciples, he's going to communicate to his closest followers that he is actually the true vine. You see, The grapevine, with its many branches and an abundance of fruit, was the symbol of the nation of Israel. And that was so because God referred to Israel as his vine. In Isaiah chapter 5, the Lord tells the story of having planted a vineyard and put within it the choicest vine. And so that vine would be Israel. And so they understood symbolically that they were the Lord's vine. And this symbol was stamped on their coins. It was carved on their synagogues. And it was even carved on the door of the temple in Jerusalem. And so Israel saw themselves as that vine. And the idea, of course, is this vine that is to bear fruit to God. But you see, Jesus is contrasting himself with that vine that was supposed to bear fruit that did not bear fruit. That was the complaint in Isaiah chapter 5. The Lord said, I planted a vineyard, I put the choicest vine in it, but it didn't bring forth fruit. So Jesus is showing that he is the true vine. Now remember the context. As I pointed out in our previous study, we have to understand that this is a conversation that is happening between Jesus and these men. He's his chosen followers, his closest associates. These men are all Israelites. They're all Jews. And the things that Jesus says to them right here are primarily in reference to themselves and to those others within the nation of Israel. And it's important to understand the context because that will help us to clear up some, I think, confusion over a few of the things that are said here. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. You know, in the 49th chapter of Isaiah, there is a messianic prophecy there. And in that prophecy, the servant of the Lord is referred to as Israel. Now, it's clear as you look at it that it's not speaking of Israel collectively, but it's speaking of an individual. And there in that 49th chapter of Isaiah, the Lord Jesus is actually referred to as Israel. Now, the name Israel, of course, was given to Jacob. The name Israel means a prince with God. Israel was a man, an individual man. But Israel also became the name of the nation collectively. But you see, collectively, the nation failed. And Israel never lived up to what God intended it to be. Israel, unfortunately, never was really a prince with God because of their continued rebellion against God. But there's one man in the nation that in him, all that God intended by the name of Israel is to be embodied, and that man is the Messiah. And that's why Isaiah refers to the Messiah by the name of Israel. Now, that's the same thing that's happening here. Jesus is embodying in himself what was intended by God when he referred to Israel as his vine. And so he says, I am the true vine. And then he says, my Father is the vine dresser. I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. Now listen to what he says. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. Okay, so Jesus is saying to them, listen, I want you to understand, I am the true vine. Don't think collectively about the nation. You have to understand that the life of the nation, that all that the nation was intended to be, is embodied in me. So, see the context? The context is very Jewish. The context is national. The context is Jesus and the nation. And so when he says, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, I think it's a mistake for us to interpret this in the context of the church. Because I don't think that that's what Jesus intended. Because again, he's not talking to the church. He's talking to the nation. He's talking to Jews. He's talking to Israelites. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And that's exactly what happened historically. What happened to Israel in unbelief? The unbelieving masses were taken away. They were taken away. The covenant was broken. And God led them away into captivity. And that happened just a few decades after they rejected the Messiah. So every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. But every branch that does bear fruit, he cleanses it that it may bear more fruit. So Jesus is letting them know that there are going to be branches that are going to be taken away. And there are going to be branches that will remain. And the branches that will remain will be cleansed or purged, or the idea of pruning is here. And the pruning is going to take place so more fruit can come. Now, think with me, Paul, in writing his epistle to the Romans, in the 11th chapter, he talks about Israel, and he talks about them as branches that were cut off. He uses that exact terminology. The branches were cut off because of unbelief, and he says to the Gentiles, and you were grafted in by faith. So you see, Paul, I think, was looking back on what Jesus declared here, although Paul is using not the vine, but the olive tree as an example. But he uses that same kind of terminology, the branches being cut off. So every branch that doesn't bear fruit is taken away, cut off. The nation would be cut off. But those who believed in the nation, they would be cleansed that they might go on and bear more fruit. And then Jesus said, you are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. There's so much here in just these couple of verses. But think with me for a moment about this whole idea of pruning. Because that, I think, is really the idea here. Now, pruning in gardening, and that's the picture that we have here, is the practice of removing diseased, non-productive portions from a plant. Now, the purpose of pruning is to shape the plant by controlling or directing plant growth, to maintain the health of the plant, or to increase the yield or quality of the fruit. That's why a gardener prunes a plant. They prune it to direct its growth. They prune it in order to ultimately make it more productive. Jesus said, every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it. And this is the explanation for why we go through some of the things that we go through as children of God, as believers in Jesus. Now, pruning is this process of, you know, cutting away at the plant. And when you think of that process, that isn't a pleasant process, but it's a necessary process. There are various types of pruning. There's what's known as pinching. And pinching is the mildest form of pruning. It's removing the new buds in order to control the growth. Then there's what's known as cutting back. And this is removing a portion of a growing stem to stimulate the growth of the fruit. Cutting back is a more severe type of pruning. But then there is what is known as thinning. And thinning is an even more drastic form of pruning, which involves removing entire branches to revitalize a plant by removing overmature, weak, problematic, or excessive growth. Now, all of these things are applied according to the wisdom of the gardener, ultimately for the benefit of the plant, so that the plant can experience greater growth and more fruitfulness. Jesus uses this terminology in reference to those who believe in him. We go through times of pruning. We go through these periods where the Lord will do a little pinching here and there. We go through these periods where the Lord will do some cutting back, or even something a bit more severe, he will do some thinning. But his intention is to bring us to a place of greater fruitfulness. You see, sometimes it's a baffling thing when it occurs to us, though, because we tend to think a lot of times that, you know, if we're doing really well, if we're bearing fruit, if things are seeming to go well for us spiritually, then we shouldn't have any problems. We shouldn't have any difficulties. We shouldn't have any challenges. We shouldn't have any setbacks. And then when suddenly something happens, we think, oh, well, what's going on here? What happened? Lord, have you forsaken me? Or did I do something wrong? Or, oh, God, is there sin in my life? Is that why this is going on? But you see, not necessarily. It can simply be that God looks at your life and says, you know, you're bearing fruit, but there's potential for a lot more, but we need to do some pruning here. We need to do some pinching. We need to do some cutting back. We need to do some thinning. We all go through these kinds of seasons because the Lord wants to bring maximum fruit from our lives. And so he will allow us to be cut back. And sometimes in the midst of that pruning, it just seems that everything's gone wrong. This couldn't possibly be of the Lord. I mean, if God is with me, how could I be going through these kinds of things? But it's a pruning. The Lord, sometimes, you know, he trims us back. We sort of look like a stick, just stuck there. You know, what could this thing possibly produce? But God is at work. It's part of our experience as God's people. Because as we go on in this passage, we see that what the Lord is looking to do in our lives is he's looking to see fruit produced, and an abundance of fruit, and lasting fruit. And so as a wise husbandman, as a wise vine dresser, he knows just what needs to be done. In some cases, it's just a little bit of pinching. In some cases, it's a little bit more severe, a cutting back. In some cases, it's a thinning. There's actually even more extreme kinds of things that fall under the heading of pruning. Sometimes you could cut something back almost completely to a stump. And in that case, you can either cause it to be very fruitful ultimately, but if there's also the possibility that you could kill it. But you see, thank God we are under the care of the wise vine dresser. The Father is the vine dresser, and he knows exactly how much pruning needs to take place. This happens in ministries, it happens in churches, it happens in our lives individually. I've seen many times in the context of a church where a pruning will take place. There's a lot of growth that goes on, and there's all kinds of excitement, and look at all the people that are coming, and oh, this is wonderful. But you know, God sees that crowd, and he knows that, you know, there's a lot of people coming out, but it's not a healthy situation. So the Lord will do something that will all of a sudden thin everything out. And they're, you know, the leadership, the pastor, they just find themselves, what happened? What's going on? Everything seemed to be going so well. Everything was going our way, and God seemed to be blessing, and great numbers of people were coming, and all of this. And now, you know, wow, the church is down to about a third of its size. And you think, Lord, have we gone wrong somewhere? Lord, are we being punished? Lord, what's happened? We want to bear fruit for you. You know, if the hearts of the leaders are right, then I would say it's not a judgment from God, it's a pruning. And although it doesn't seem like it right now, more fruit is going to come forth in the future. But it happens in our lives personally as well. We're going along, we're doing great, we're serving God, we're excited, things are happening, fruit is being born, and then all of a sudden everything seems to come to a halt. And this goes wrong, and then we've got problems over in that area that start to develop, and things in our family are getting rattled, and you know, we think, what is happening here? Just be patient, because you see, God is working. He's trimming things back. He sees your fruitfulness, but he says, you know, more fruit can come from this life. We need to trim things back a bit. You know, the older a plant is, the more necessary pruning becomes. You know what can happen as we get older in the Lord? We can sort of get set in our ways. You know what happens? It becomes like a tradition. And the older we get, a lot of those things start to sort of settle in. And there needs to be a pruning. There needs to be a cutting back. When a ministry gets older, it's so important that there's a pruning that goes on, because if it doesn't, then tradition sets in and things are no longer fresh and there's no longer dependency on the Lord. And now we're just doing this because this is the way we've always done it, and there's no fresh new growth. It's important to realize the value of pruning. But Jesus says here that for these men, this is already taking place. It's the result of God working in their lives. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. And you know, it is the word of God that does that work in our lives. And you know what happens when things sort of turn a different direction, and when we're not experiencing that blessing that we sensed at a certain point, you know, we turn to the Word rightfully, and it's at those times that the Lord does a deeper work. I can think of so many times in my life where in the pruning process, it's caused me to go deeper into the Word, to really search the Scriptures, to really see, Lord, what do you want from my life? What are you trying to tell me? What areas do you want to deal with? What do you want to change? And you find that there is that cleansing effect that begins to occur through His Word. It is the Word of God that does that cleansing work in our lives. In Psalm 119, perhaps you remember there, it declares that our way is cleansed by taking heed to the word. How shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. So I cleanse my way through the word of God. Paul, in writing to the Ephesians, he speaks of Jesus loving the church and giving himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it by the washing of water through the word. So you see, in these times of pruning, God brings his word in a fresh new way into our lives. And it does this cleaning. It does this purging within us. And it brings us to a place of greater fruitfulness. That's the whole point.
We'll continue with more on this subject of the vine and the branches in our next lesson. But right now, I'd like to remind you that if you missed any part of today's study, or perhaps you'd like to review it again at a more convenient time, you can do so by simply calling us toll-free at 1-800-733-6443 and request the message entitled The Vine and the Branches. Or if you prefer, simply refer to it by resource number BT-3256. Once again, our toll-free number is 1-800-733-6443. And for those of you that prefer to write, you can address your correspondence to Back to Basics, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And when writing or calling, be sure to ask for a free catalog of available resources from Back to Basics, and please include the call letters of this station with your correspondence. You're also invited to visit our website at backtobasicsradio.com, where you can listen to archived messages by Pastor Brian, or subscribe to our podcasts and vodcasts. Once again, that's backtobasicsradio.com.
So turn up your radio.
Back to Basics is sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.